So, good evening all. Thank you for attending this session. And let's welcome Luciano Rezende.
Hi, thank you. Thanks, and good afternoon, everyone. So, we're going to be talking about System ML today. Just a little bit about me. I work with IBM at the Spark Technology Center. So, around July 2015, so IBM announced that they're going to invest a lot in the Spark community, and they created the Spark Technology Center. So we kind of group of people working on basically open source contributions around Spark and the Spark ecosystem, and we are not really like tied to any product, basically working on the community, and although in IBM there are lots of other teams that are building products on top of Spark or other products that we are working on, or rewriting and replatforming on top of Spark. As for like open source, have been working with Apache for probably about 10 years. Started with middleware, and in the past few years, I started moving to big data. And currently contributing to various open source projects around big data and Spark. And if you need to contact me, here are my information. The slides are going to be there, and the code of the demo is going to be on GitHub, an updated version later on. There is a slightly older version there already. Let me start just asking, like, anyone knows what SystemML is or have had any experience with SystemML before? Great. Have you guys played with Spark? Okay, a few, several. You guys playing or anyone like production level? Okay, good, good. So good. We'll get started. I'll let you know how this the SystemML started, what it is. Get an introduction. Go into some details of like internals. Go into some demos, and then talk a little bit more about. What is new, what is like the recent things that we have been doing in the community. So Apache SystemML, as you guys know, it's like a project that is in Apache Incubator currently, but has its origins in IBM research team. And it's kind of like, to a certain extent, in terms of like code-wise, to a certain extent, mature project. Basically, the history around that is like around 2007, 2008, there were various research groups at IBM that were started working on machine learning algorithms and projects and investigations. At that time, around MapReduce, also known as Hadoop. Around 2009, we basically, IBM said, well, let's consolidate this. Let's get in, form a group that is going to concentrate on this type of research. And the team that created SystemML was originated. And they took like the initial couple of years to basically go over and investigate like use cases. And through engagements with customers and other internal projects, they basically started identifying basically two types of ways that people were consuming and playing with machine learning. So the state of the art when you have like small data, it's to a certain extent simple. You have data scientists, which usually are working with high level like programming language, either R or Python. They will basically start projecting or working on a specific problem, define the algorithm, made some tweaks. And because it fits, the data fits into memory, fits into one system, it's very easy to just kind of run, get some feedback, work a little bit more, tweak here and there, and be able to get the solution that he wants for that amount of data and be satisfied with that in either like a laptop or like a one server machine that they have. That is very, very interesting because, I mean, everything kind of goes fast and then he has access to the results, access to the system, can get the results pretty quick. And this goes, basically, the roundup for getting the results about like maybe an hour if you, or more or less. So it's very fast. But that changed when you start looking to very large amounts of data. So in context of like big data. The data scientists, well, they are still looking into the problem and writing in their language of choice, usually R and Python. But then for getting that to run into a cluster environment, I start kind of like needing the assistance of a system programmer, which most likely will get that information, try to write another program, maybe like in Scala or a more low-level application that can easily be distributed, will get and do a lot of like performance tweaks so you can run that algorithm in that environment and take all the and leverage all the capabilities of like the cluster, memory, and distributed disk. And that experience, I mean, may take a couple days or maybe a week or so. And then the system program, okay, feel that it's ready. It's gonna get that and run into the cluster and somehow do some magic and get all the results back to the data scientist, which will then, this is not the data that I was expecting, and we'll notice that, well, I did a tweak on I basically had a mistake on this parameter or how I expressed that, and then they have to do this whole cycle again. The problem with that is this whole iteration can take days, maybe weeks, because you're rewriting what the data scientist, which is the domain expert, did in some high-level language to some low-level language. You can introduce bugs, mistakes there, or the data engineer can have different types of interpretation, and basically it's very prone to errors. It's very like time-consuming, and it's not the optimal kind of like experience for solving those problems. So with that kind of like user scenarios in mind, that's how SystemML was created. So the idea is that you still look into the problem and express that in a very in a high level scripting language, and SystemML will basically have a runtime that will compile that and produce kind of like a execution plan that will take in consideration what is the size of the data, what is kind of like the resources that you have. If you are running, for example, in your one machine local computer versus a cluster with like many nodes, a lot of memory, a lot of hard disk, and optimize to run that on that scenario. But also we can identify that, well, what you need can be just run locally, even if you're trying to run that on a cluster, and optimize to do that and not like pay the penalty of like many like shuffle of data and all those kind of stuff that can happen on a cluster. And the idea here is fast iteration, same answer, so that you're not like kind of translating the algorithm and you get the translation, the results that you're expecting, because it's actually the code that you've run. And that's what SystemML does. So let's start looking to this with more like a concrete example so we can see how this kind of becomes more clear how SystemML work on it will help you. When we talk about algorithms, one of the example algorithms is like ALS. It's probably one well-known for data scientists and is used for recommendations, for example. The example that we're going to go through some of the slides here, we're going to basically take this ALS example and run through some a scenario where you're going to predict move recommendations for the user. And this is also what we're going to see live on the demo. It's based on Netflix data set. And if we look into the way ALS works, you basically will have like a matrix, a sparse matrix. And you then will look into predicting by basically getting move factors and multiplying and then user factors, and those will become getting results for you. And then with the last sparse matrix, you start seeing all the non-zeros, that becomes the recommendation. So if you're trying to use ALS and you talk with a data scientist that modeled and know that algorithm by heart, they're going to come up with something like this. And let's take a look at it just for the sake of it. So you start with some random factors. You hold the moves factor constant and find the best value for the users. You do the same thing for users to find values for the moves factor. And then you repeat until you find the right convergence for that you're expecting. What I wanted to make sure that people understand here is like the algorithm is kind of very concise, very easy to understand for folks that the data scientist kind of folks. And most all the lines that you see here has a very specific purpose. So now let's compare with pretty much the same algorithm and how it's implemented on Apache Spark. So you can see that it's a lot more code. And it's not only that. There is more. A little bit more. More code. So 25 lines becomes over 800 lines in Scala. It's those little algorithm, but a lot of like performance code dealing with how you take and do the best usage of the resources that you have and all those kind of stuff that is needed on Spark. And then when you see this and you put like in the context of like you're trying to write, you as a data scientist trying to write an algorithm, giving to someone to then convert that to Scala or some other low-level language, you can see that a lot of problems can happen there, and it's very prone to get issues and bugs. And that's why like SystemML tries to help. So going back to the algorithm that we saw on ALS, let's see how difficult it is to basically convert that and be able to run as a SystemML script. Well, basically, that is the R algorithm. There is no change required. And you can use that into SystemML as a script that you want to execute. The SystemML will then compile that and will be able to take the advantage of like knowing all the resources that you have and optimize for running on the level, the size of data that you have, and as well the resources that are available for you at that moment. In terms of what the compatibility of what we have in R and what we have, what we support in SystemML, it's pretty much like matrix or descriptive statistics type of like operations that are available in R, we support those. The restriction is we don't support like third-party libraries, but as long as you can express in R, SystemML will take. We are looking into expanding and seeing how we would be able to support different third-party libraries that are available. You guys are quiet, but usually, like, the first thing that I get as a question when I tell people that, well, basically R works and it will just run there is like, so how does that compare in terms of performance And although it's kind of like complicated to talk about performance in algorithms, particularly because they are different implementations, different languages, we tried to do some experiment just to have like a basic baseline of like how we compare with a pure R, ML, Spark ML, and basically System ML. So let's look into some examples. We define like three categories of data. Basically, a small subset, a small data set, and by small is basically it would fit into the memory, into the resources that are available. We look into a medium that basically it will fit into the memory of a cluster that we had available for us, and then a large, which basically will go over that limit of the resources, and we'll have to go to disk to do some of like swapping there. And let's look at how like R performed. Basically, we waited for like 24 hours. We were kind of like pressed by getting the results back, and we had to do the other experiments as well. We didn't get the results. We basically cut at that and say basically it took more than a day. And then on the cluster environment, because basically it will not, it will get basically out of memory because it goes over the resources, the memory available for you on those environments. Then we took a look at like how Apache, the ML side of Apache Spark would behave on this. And for the small data, it was optimized for that. That is basically what it was implemented for and tuned for. So it went pretty well. On medium data, also performed okay. It went a little bit more. But for large data, we waited like a day. We cut off at a day, and we still didn't have all the results that we wanted. And then we looked into how SystemML would handle in those three scenarios. And for the small data, SystemML went a little bit above of the Spark. That is expected. Spark is really tuned for that, and SystemML was doing some trade-offs, but it wasn't the ballpark, so it was like a similar result. When you start increasing the size of the data, it's when we start seeing a lot of like performance improvements on SystemML. And if you look into the medium data here, we got the results much faster than Spark. And for the large data set, we were able to get that like in a little bit over half of a day, and while like the other scenarios didn't wasn't able to return us the results very well on that amount of time. So the main takeaway points that I want you guys to just kind of have in mind here is like same answer when we are running, like comparing like for example SystemML and R, because you're actually running the same script. And in terms of performance, it's comparable like with low level RDD based implementation, for example. Now, how is SystemML able to achieve these results? So I usually, when I talk about SystemML and folks that are probably worked or know a little bit about SQL, I kind of mentioned that like SystemML is kind of like SQL for machine learning. So the idea here is like we have a compiler and we have an optimizer that handles a lot of the internal like optimizations and create a plan that will be very specific for in taking into consideration the size of data and all the resources that you have available. And some of the things that it does in terms of like a critical decision is like, do I run this distributed or local? How do I best partition the data? Do I persist or not all this data? Do I do a distributed versus local or a hybrid runtime to execute that? And all those kind of things are taken in consideration. and a lot more. So like we have different rewrites, cost-based selection of physical operators, dynamic recompilation for aggregate stats. We have PAR4 optimizers, direct operations on RDD. We support Yarn. We support MapReduce, Spark standalone, and all those kind of things. And you can use those as a runtime. Summary here, basically, some of the things that we have been talking, single node versus like in memory, different characteristics are all considered when we optimize the and create the execution plan. out of the box, scalable machine learning algorithms as well. So the idea here is we provide like a very good size of like available algorithms. We call it like samples, just for the notion that from our experience, most of the times data scientists, they actually have a problem in hand, they have some data, and they want to customize those algorithms to get the best like results back from the data. So although we have a big list of like algorithms, one of the things is you can start as a baseline, and you can start tweaking that so you can get the best results for the data that you have. And of course, I mean, you can start basically creating your own if you familiar with the problem, familiar with the types of algorithms that you want. You just can just implement your own and have that running and solving the problems that you're looking for. In terms of algorithms, I put here more as a reference various categories of algorithms and the ones that are available there. If you go to systemml.apache.org/algorithms, you're going to see all of those. It redirects you to GitHub, where we have all that listed there. I have that as a reference at the end, and you guys can go and play with that and take a look there. Any specific questions? Otherwise, I will go to the demo, and basically you can see kind of like how it looks like when I'm actually running that. Yes?
Are you executing directly, or are you translating it into another intermediate language and then optimize that?
We translate and optimize and get that executed on the runtime that we are supporting, basically either like MapReduce or Spark.
Okay.
Yes.
When you're talking about the support for third-party libraries in R, I mean that's what R is good for, right? It's not because it's a particularly nice language or anything. It's got a great set of third party. Is that what you mean? Is the kind of written in R third party packages, or are you talking about where R is compiling Fortran code or C++ code? What's the limitation that's stopping you from being able to use those third
party? It's more like third party libraries that you would have to include that. So basically, we support a lot of like the matrix operations and some of the mathematical operations of R. But we haven't solved the problem of like integrating other libraries and being able to optimize the code for that. So that's something that some of the engineers back in the research group are looking into that. But having said that, I think there is still a lot of value in being able to express your algorithm in terms of like the mathematical operations and be able to run that. I think that's what we have been seeing, that there is that limitation and we are working on that.
But when you say third-party libraries, are you meaning a library written in R?
Yes.
Okay.
Or something that okay. Yes, that's correct.
Okay, thanks.
Okay, so let me talk a little bit just about the demo environment. So I'm going to be using Zeppelin as my user interface. On the back end, basically I have a Spark cluster, some data on HDFS, and I'm going to be processing that and trying to get some results there. I think in terms of environment, there is nothing fancy here. I think it's a very common environment that folks have been using. If you guys want interested on playing with this, there is a Docker version that have the whole environment and have some of the data and the notebook all available there, so you guys can play with that. For those that are not familiar with Netflix dataset, so basically we have a dataset about movies, and then we have historical ratings, which has the movie ID, the user ID, the rating, and what was the date that was given. So let's make sure everything works here. I might have to get, okay. Okay, let me see what I can do. So I think it should be okay to see, even though it's a little bit too large. I think usually the problem is like it's too small and now it's. So what I do here, and this is the application, I'm trying to, using Scala, just basically regular Spark here to load the data, and get those into like RDDs. The good thing here is like SystemML integrates very well with Spark. We consume and we produce RDDs or data frames very seamlessly. And basically just reading from HDFS some of the data that I have here. Let me leave it executing just because it's gonna take maybe like a minute or two to finalize all the execution, and I'm gonna go through some of the paragraphs here. Okay, so loading the data. I'm doing some just like preparation here for training, and let's look into the DML algorithm here. In this context, I got the DML script that was available in SystemML. I put it here, basically the content of it, because I wanted to do some kind of like customization of it. If you want to see, here is the actual location and the DML file. And I'm going to show you what I did here. But basically, this is the AOLS implementation with a little bit of like boilerplate code to get and manipulate the data that is passed by. And otherwise, the algorithm is going to be very similar to the one that we saw on the slides previously. And then for customizations, basically, I started, let me go a little bit down here. So I wanted to be able to plot like the convergency graph. So I started like getting that and put into a temp table so I could do some queries there and plot for you. So these are some of the changes that I did. And then at the end, I'll output that to a temp table. Okay, one of the things that it's interesting here and so to better work on the environment and integrate with Spark, we created the ML context. ML context, like for those that work with Spark, is like a SQL context or other contexts that are available there. And it gives you a little bit of APIs to play together and do some of like a integration between Spark RDDs and anything that we needed into SystemML. So I created an ML context here basically to start using the script. I get the do a little bit of like manipulation of the data that we read on the first paragraph, so that it gets as the expected format for SystemML, and then I execute the AOLS script, which is basically this one that we had it defined it here up in the paragraph above. Here is basically I'm getting the losses, and you can see that it's getting the convergence, and we plot the graph here, so you can start integrating and getting visualization as well with the results that you're getting back. And then we start basically taking a look and doing like some validations to make sure we are getting like a good results back. And at here, basically we have the kind of validation, we have the matrix populated with the recommendation, and we can start doing actually like recommendations for specific users or movies that the way you guys want. So for you guys that want to start playing with this, I mean, as I said, it's going to be available in GitHub or as a Docker, it's going to be an environment where you can basically start playing with the R algorithm. If you want to start using a different algorithm, there is a list available that you guys can browse and choose those. Let me go back here. This was just my backup plan in case of like the demo didn't work, but we were very good with that. So I think at the moment you guys kind of know what SystemML is, or at least a little bit, have some like at least idea on how to use it in terms of like possible user interface and how to actually solve a problem there. Let me talk about a little bit of the new developments that are coming. We just had a release this Friday or Saturday. So it's all that I'm saying, I was expecting that it's going to be like, oh, it's coming soon, but it just got released. So it's all available as in the latest release, which is 0.11. So one of the things that we just got like a couple months ago, we got the VLDB 2016 Best Paper Award for compressed linear algebra on large scale machine learning. So if you guys, here's the link for the PDF of the paper if you guys are interested in learning some of the stuff that we have been doing internally into SystemML. As I was mentioning about the latest release, so we have a few new features. I think one of the ones that I'm most excited about is like the ML context API. We basically redesigned that with a much more user-friendly API for integrating with external applications in Spark. So it's a very good enhancement that's coming out there. Various bug fixes and various new algorithms you guys are gonna see. But also, we have been hearing a lot about like deep learning, GPU, all those kind of stuff. We have started experimenting with those, and we have somewhat working support on this latest release. We are considering experimental, but you guys can start using, can start leveraging, and providing feedback in case if you find like any issues or anything. So, various initiatives around deep learning with a set of like DML scripts, GPU support that is in progress as well. We kind of like the same thing that we started doing with the ML context. We are trying to get better on some of the Python DSL integration and the compressed linear algebra also available there. Some of the new algorithms, some of the new ones for deep learning as well. We also, kind of hard to see here, but like we had a very like ugly engineer-based website. Now it's kind of like we revamped that. We had help of like a couple of designers, and it's much more intuitive to find answers, and we are always trying to improve that, so like feedback are welcome. Let's look into some use cases that we also have been working on. I find this very interesting. So basically, Mike is one of the computers in the project. He's using kind of like a research around cancer tumors. to drive all the initiative that we are doing in terms of like deep learning. So basically, he's doing this investigation as the use case, and in parallel, he's basically getting all the support that needed to implement this use case and get a solution from this use case using SystemML. So if you guys want to know more or have curiosity, I mean, he's available on the mailing list and he responds very quickly. You can reach out, or you can reach out to me, and I can get you guys in contact. And basically, SystemML is an Apache project, open source project. So come help us. I mean, we are open source since 2015, June 2015. We got available on GitHub, and then we started the incubation project. Our 0.11 release is probably our third Apache release already. So we are looking for users, looking for contributors. You guys can come and provide contributions on all different levels. If you're a data scientist, you want to tweak or create new algorithms, those are welcome. If you're a data engineer and want to work on the runtime, if you're just a user and you want to play around, feel free to go ask questions on the mailing list. We're very eager to collaborate and contribute, get you guys up and running. This is basically it. Here there are some references in terms of like what you can look for, the website, specific places where we have the language reference, algorithms, runtime references, and all ways you can start using SystemML. That's pretty much what I had. Now, if you guys have some questions or wanna know any specific thing, just let me know. Well, thank you very much. Enjoy.